from the Jethro's Barbecue Studios, where every Monday, get one of Jethro's world-famous meal deals.
Score!
This is Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Keith Murphy.
This is a big, hairy American winning machine.
Andy Fales.
I got a guy on the other line about some white walls. I'll talk to you later.
It's the Murph and Andy Show.
Shoots a three and got it!
Powered by AD.
British Young Cinderella.
On 1460 KXNO and now 106.3 FM.
Welcome to the Murph and Andy Show on a Monday alongside Andy Fales. I'm Keith Murphy. We're powered up by AD. Man, I'm ready to get into this week. It's weather's beautiful. It's Monday. Everything's great. Let's do this. What's the temperature?
70? I think it was 9.
9. I'm sorry, I missed that. Okay, 9. Well, the low today was -1. All right, yeah, well, it's January.
It feels like -9 when I took the kids to the bus stop.
Does that bus stop have one of those glass cases or plastic casings?
No, it does not. No,
it does not.
It's okay. Got daddy's car with the heat on.
Yeah. I'm sorry, we've soared to 12.
Oh man!
Yeah, we're all the way. We're making progress right now. Okay.
Heat wave. Let's do this. Let's get to the one at one.
The one at one.
One.
With Murph and Andy, powered by Kaburski Brothers Lawn Care.
Well, the Super Bowl is set. It is the Eagles Chiefs in less than 2 weeks from Glendale, Arizona. AD, was this the matchup when we asked the question that the listeners wanted to see the least?
I believe it was, yeah, because most people,
Eagles-Bengals.
I think Eagles-Bengals was fourth place.
Because there's so many Chiefs fans.
A lot of Chiefs
here.
Fans, and most people wanted to see the 49ers do it.
So we get Eagles-Chiefs. The line on the game, Andy, has gone from opened as, like, Chiefs favored, went to a pick 'em. Now it's, last I looked, you have to check DraftKings there, AD, but last I looked, it had gone to Eagles favored by a point or so. So that's kind of what you want when the guys that do this for a living say, we don't know who's going to win this game. This looks like a toss-up. And it's so tough to judge because the Eagles really haven't had a test in these playoffs.
No. We saw them beat up on the Giants. Well, they got to skip the first round, and then we saw them beat up on the Giants, and then this was not the San Francisco team that we thought we would see. By the way, Chiefs-Eagles... Just looking at the most recent update of that poll, that is the least favorite option.
It was 1%. The least favorite. Yes. Wow. Even with the Chiefs involved. Okay.
I think there's some Chiefs fatigue. They are the closest team to us, so it makes sense that there would be a bunch of Chiefs fans here.
I'm feeling a little Chiefs fatigue. I was going into the weekend, and after last night, I'm feeling it even a little harder.
We got 5 straight AFC championship games, 3 Super Bowls. In 4 years, they're on a run no one's been on since the Patriots. Now they need another title to move into that kind of dynasty talk, but they're doing well.
Eagles favored by 2 on DraftKings.
Okay.
You get a great coach and a great quarterback together.
There you go.
You can make some coin in the NFL, man. You can do well.
Let's start with, by far, the better game, as it turns out, for reasons we all understand, and we'll get to, with the Bengals and Chiefs from Arrowhead in the bitter cold. And it was as good as I'd think you'd expect. The third quarter, we'll skip ahead to the third quarter, and Joe Burrow, pride of Ames, finds T. Higgins.
Here's the pass. Oh, what a catch! Leaping into the pulling it down is T. Higgins, and the Bengals are an extra point away from tying the game.
And they would tie the game, so it's Jim Nantz on the call for CBS Sports. That made it 13-13. And Joe Burrow didn't have his best game, but you were reminded again, Andy, of how this guy can drop it into the tightest of windows.
And just he's fearless in big games on the road. I mean, that's an amazing quality for a quarterback. I mean, he really... Once again, I mean, he has proven over and over again, I guess we could just quit testing him here because he's already passed. He is not a one-hit wonder. I mean, last year was not a fluke at all. They started a little slow, but he's now, I think you can call him the second-best quarterback in the league.
And I think had the Bengals won this game, you would have some people making the case for Joe Burrow at number one, especially if he was if he wins this game, he goes to 4-0 against Mahomes and the Chiefs with two wins at Arrowhead. But he did not win the game because Patrick Mahomes, who is the consensus best quarterback in football, he would put the Chiefs back in front.
On the run to the end zone. It's caught on his back. Valdez-Scantling.
No, so that would be... That would be Jim Nance, courtesy of Fox Sports, or no, courtesy of CBS Sports as well. So 20-13 at that point, and the Bengals would come back to tie it at 20. So the Chiefs try to get in field goal range, and a gimpy Mahomes, he's got the high ankle sprain, he makes a play, and Joseph Osai makes it worse for the Bengals.
Here's Mahomes rolling out on 3rd and 4. He's going to go for the... Ash, he's got the marker. He's got the out-of-bounds to stop it. And Osai was hurt as he hit the bench. And a flag's coming in to put him 15 yards closer.
Personal foul, unnecessary roughness, defense, number 58.
And that 15 yards.
Well, unfortunate for the Bengals. And fans are really upset about this call, but it's late. It's a penalty. His foot's out of bounds. He's pushed from behind. It wasn't egregious, but it's a penalty. Yeah. It should be a penalty at any point during the game. You don't change it based on the circumstances.
Which is, I think, everybody's number one argument. It's just too big of a call to make in that situation. Because the Super Bowl is on the line.
It is. Yeah, those 15 yards make all the difference.
Just before that, I mean, the Bengals had given up a sizable punt return, which put the Chiefs at midfield. So, I mean, there's more than one mistake on that drive to point to for the Bengals. Or the Bengals. You keep running into people that say Bengals.
Chris Collinsworth always said Bengals.
And he's like Mr. Bengal.
Yeah, so he should know, but he'd be like, the Bengals?
The Bengals?
Watching Osai sob on the sidelines was just heartbreaking. 22 years old, and you know, one of his teammates yelled at him, that's competitive fire, you get it. I mean, you have to know once. And Mahomes had just stepped out, but he did step out. And everyone understands the way the rules work, especially when it comes to protecting quarterbacks. But it was the right call.
It's a tough call to make, but it is the right call. And
no doubt he was late.
You can't make that play. You can't touch. I mean, you have to know that that's going to get called.
And he just pushed
him. If
it's
even close, you can't. I mean, those 15 yards are the difference in this game, likely.
And he hyperextended his knee, Osai did, doing this.
Yes.
In the process of that collapse onto the sideline after momentum took them both for a fall. So the Chiefs kick a field goal to win it. The 15 yards helped. And voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, was pretty darn excited.
There is the squib. It bounds in front of the receiver. Clock now. They're going to throw it across the formation, and it is caught over there, now slipping, and the Chiefs will tackle him. This game is over. This game is over. You can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs as the AFC champions. And for the third time in 4 years, Lamar Hunt Trophy, the trophy named after this franchise's founder, is back in Kansas City where it belongs.
Jeez,
man.
Man, is that the angriest celebration call
I've ever heard?
And my gosh.
But are you happy or are you angry?
And how about just a pause or something? Just a little, just let the air, let it breathe a little bit there.
We've always thought that he sounded like he was doing an angry touchdown call, like angry, happy. Where, you know, there's just like, it was the growl in his voice and just how loud he was. Sounds like he's calling through gritted teeth.
Yeah.
That removes all doubt right there. I mean, there's a chip on his shoulder.
But this, Chiefs fans love Mitch Holtis, and
well, everybody loves their own guy.
That's
going to get you some haters, though.
AD, how about one more time? Just the feeling of, by the way, who's doubting the Chiefs?
Yeah,
but, okay.
We got to get right into that a little bit too, because come on.
Another one where we shocked the world.
Yeah, it's the Georgia, the Georgia,
the disrespect. Yeah, remember the guy from Georgia's like, everybody had us at 7-5. Who had you at 7-5? No one had you at 7-5.
You can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're gonna have to deal with the Chiefs as the AFC champions.
What was that, from the SummerSlam or Hell in the Cell?
Some Royal Rumble Saturday.
Was that the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Like pro wrestling.
It does sound like pro wrestling, my goodness. And I'm telling you right now, any Chiefs fan listening is like, these guys just don't get it.
Well, they don't get it, man.
That's Mitch Holthus there. He speaks for all of us. Because I am tired of being disrespected. Who disrespects the Chiefs? Like, I saw somebody talking about, it's time to show Patrick Mahomes the respect. Who doesn't show Patrick Mahomes respect?
Won an MVP, won a Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh. People just constantly praise Patrick Mahomes. And he deserves it. He's a fantastic quarterback. So the fun is just beginning with Mitch Holthus's call there. Andy, you remember the mayor of Cincinnati? Have you heard his video message to the people of Kansas City and the Chiefs? Did you hear it ahead of the game?
No, I haven't heard it yet.
Okay, here is the mayor of Cincinnati with one of the all-time bad ideas that, like, all the players with the Bengals would like to just go shut this guy up.
Good afternoon, Cincinnati. I have a proclamation from the desk of the mayor. Be it proclaimed, whereas the Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Burrowhead Stadium for their second consecutive AFC Championship game. Whereas at last year's game, the Bengals scored more points than the Chiefs, resulting in a Bengals victory and a Chiefs loss. Whereas Joseph Lee Burrow, who's 3-0 against Mahomes, has been asked by officials to take a paternity test confirming whether or not he's his father. Whereas all season long, Cincinnati has been on a path of destiny, fighting it out to overcome anyone who stands between them and a Super Bowl win. And whereas Kansas City is named after its neighboring state, which is, you know, just kind of weird. Now, therefore, I, Aftab Pierval, mayor of the city of Cincinnati, do hereby proclaim January 29th, 2023, as They Gotta Play Us Day in Cincinnati. Thank you.
That is what, the press secretary for the mayor?
That's the mayor.
That's the mayor?
That's the mayor. That's the mayor. And you know,
he's talking about himself in the third person.
He's reading the proclamation,
yeah,
word for word, that he has had drawn up.
He mentioned the mayor.
Yeah, he's referring to himself in the third person. That is the mayor. And the paternity test, whereas Joe Burrow has been proclaimed Patrick Mahomes' daddy. I mean, the whole thing is, oh my gosh.
So I think from the outside, you might think that Mitch Holthus is responding to that, but no, he'd have said the exact same thing if that never happened.
Bengals players probably wanted to shut the mayor up, but instead, the Chiefs' Travis Kelce did.
First of all, I also want to thank God, man.
Woo! Burrow hit my ass! Woo! It's Mahomes' house! Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni. You gotta fight for your right to party.
How about the Beastie Boys getting a shout out in 2023?
Know your role, shut your hole, is the saying.
Isn't he quoting The Rock?
Know your role,
the
shut your mouth.
Thing is definitely a Rock. He's definitely doing like a WWE promo here.
Ray Gunn has already put this T-shirt out, by the way. Came out this morning. Know your role, shut your mouth, you jabroni. You think you'll wear one of those?
No.
We have a quickie poll from WCI Pools and Spas.
Do you think the NFL is rigged? Yes or no?
There were thousands of social media tweets and posts from people who think the NFL is rigged.
There was bad officiating.
There was some
yesterday.
Bad officiating.
I mean,
there was,
just with my eyes during the play, I saw a clip on that punt return late for the Chiefs. There were definitely some holds on that Mahomes run that ultimately got them the win. But there are bad calls always. I think it's saying it's rigged is probably too far.
To me, rigged shows intent to fix the outcome of the game. Incompetence or mistakes, are that's different from rigged.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think about what exactly would go into rigging an NFL game. I mean,
there'd have to be an agenda to get one team to win.
There would have to be a giant conspiracy.
And I don't buy that.
With a whole bunch of people all coordinating and word never getting out. And if word did get out,
that's
the NFL would be screwed. It'd be over.
I mean, Major League Baseball almost didn't recover from the Black Sox. You could not have a rigged game. You might have some bad calls, but that's different from saying word came down from like Goodell or above or the TV networks. We got to have the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Or even just the officiating crew getting together and saying, we're going to swing this. You know, a few officials saying, we're going to swing this for the Chiefs.
Yeah. And
I mean, a conspiracy among officials to do that. Or maybe even a conspiracy among officials in all the different games where they've all got rigs going on. I mean, the moment word gets out that one thing was rigged at any moment, any game, that's it. Everybody thinks that and has something, a piece of evidence to point to from that point on.
And now more than ever, because the NFL actually partners with like DraftKings. I mean, it's not like this outside thing that the NFL doesn't speak of anymore. Like, the NFL is a partner with DraftKings. So to suggest, I mean, you risk everything with that kind of thing. And I really don't know, is the Bengals, the people who think this, and I know it's mostly Bengals fans who are just upset that they lost, and I get that. Fans are always going to fans, it doesn't matter who they're fans of, it hurts when you lose, and when you see a bad call, and then your team loses, you're bitter about it, and I get it. All fans are the same in that regard. In any state, but is the Chiefs Eagles matchup that much more attractive than Bengals Eagles? I mean, I think the Bengals are a good story. Joe Burrow's a big star.
How would you ever agree on what is best for the NFL? I mean, if you're gambling on the game, I mean, it's a whole lot easier because you're just trying to, you know, make yourself money on a game, but. For the NFL to be in on a conspiracy, and they would have to have some sort of agreement at the top saying, okay, yes, this is better for us. And somehow, I mean, you would have to get a whole bunch of different parties to agree that that is so true and so easy to prove that it's worth risking everything over.
Yeah, like
so it's life or death for the NFL, so we've got to do this. So let's do it.
Yeah, if you had the Cowboys and Falcons, you could say like, "Oh man, they want the Cowboys in this game." If you have the Yankees and Rays, well, the networks, but the Bengals and Chiefs, the NFL, it doesn't matter who plays
two
in the Super Bowl.
Small market,
people are watching.
Small market Midwestern teams.
Yeah. Christy writes to the Royal Mile inbox at @Murph_Andy. If you lose, you think it's rigged. If not, it's because your team is elite. Tons of extremely talented quarterbacks, running backs, and other players just recognize that sometimes you get outplayed and move on. And Phil Parker America writes, after hearing that call from Mitch Holtis, I'm now cheering for the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that'll happen. I mean, there are bad calls. And now that we have more cameras and more time for reviews where they're pointing out other things going on the field, I mean, you can see the field so much better than you used to. It does seem sometimes like it would be impossible for so many officials to miss so many calls at this level. But, I mean, again, play it at game speed. What do you notice?
Time for another $1,000 slam dunk. You go to KXNO.com, enter the nationwide keyword pay at KXNO.com. Brock Purdy's storybook run comes to a painful end.
/radio.
Back on the Murph and Andy Show, 106.3 KXNO. Alongside Andy Fales, I'm Keith Murphy. Glad to have you with us here on a Monday. We appreciate you giving us some of your time. So the 49ers and Eagles game, the NFC Championship. The Eagles take the football and come right out and drive it the distance.
Second and goal. Hand it off. Sanders walks in. Touchdown, Eagles.
So it's audio courtesy of Fox Sports. And Andy, the 49ers have a good defense, but the Eagles made that look easy to start the game right off.
Yeah, they really did. You thought this was going to be a close game. I thought the Eagles were going to would win. I thought they had the upper hand, and they had a defense that the 49ers offense was going to have trouble with, but yeah, this game was obviously not what we expected.
And kind of a questionable call there early, right? That 4th-and-3 long pass, and they gave it to the Eagles down inside the 5, but
should have challenged.
A replay, it looked like the ball came out. Yeah, it certainly should have challenged.
Yeah, and
who knows? I mean, that early in the game, you're probably thinking, do we want to waste a challenge here? And who knows? But in hindsight, it's like, man.
Well, the hint is always when the receiver comes up giving the signal snap the ball, snap the ball, snap the ball.
I didn't catch it.
Because he knows, and he's giving it that, and that's your hint to, we should challenge this. He's not acting like he actually is sure that he caught it. 49ers led by rookie quarterback Brock Purdy out of Iowa State, and the 49ers start moving the football, and then disaster strikes.
A lot of fake pressure coming. Purdy, Dak, 40 in the air. Is it picked? No, hit the ground. Josh Johnson, the backup quarterback, is in. Brock Purdy was warming up, Greg, and then it looks like he's saying here that he can't throw, he can't do it. Aaron told us about the wrist injury on that sack by Reddick. Oh, my goodness, what a turn of events.
So it's not a wrist. It is the elbow, which you can tell from the photos and the video exactly what happens. Purdy getting an MRI today, hoping it's not a torn UCL, which would put him out 9 months or more.
It looked really painful.
It did. And you can see him on the sideline in that close-up, because there's no reason to question Brock Purdy's toughness. But you can see
him. He's young. I mean, he had everything. Everything going for him. I mean, it's a reminder of just how close every team is, to the close they are from the brink of not being what they should be. I mean, you lose, but I mean, the 49ers, you lose one quarterback. Yeah, he's a third. He was already all the way down to the third string.
Been to that brink a couple of times.
I mean, they got to a point when Johnson came in, they had three quarterbacks on the roster who couldn't play. Right, and you're just like, oh my God, how do you get this deep? It's amazing that they made it as far as they did with their third string quarterback. I mean, that's well documented, but you're one quarterback injury away from being just unable to function as an offense in the NFL.
Well, and there was some,
and you almost wonder what the 49ers are doing. You're like, wait a minute, man, are one quarterback away. What happens if you lose this one quarterback? And it's easy to say, well, he's young, he hasn't shown any propensity for injury, I think we're going to be just fine, and you just kind of roll with it. But that's a reminder that you just can't be too careful at that position.
Boy, people get they get so emotional, too. There was somebody called Sound Off on WHO 13 last night, and I got two direct messages. One from a woman who was just so upset that to her, it was so clear that the Eagles were targeting Purdy and trying to knock him out of the game. And she was just really upset about it. And I can't tell somebody that something I can't prove, but I didn't see it as that. I just saw the guy's going in, goes for the football. He gets his arm before, it's so fast. It moves so quickly, the game does. And it's a violent sport. I didn't see anything that looked to me like they're trying to knock Purdy out of the game or anything like that. It's just an unfortunate play that completely changed this game in many different ways, including that it turned into an absolute dud to watch. It was a slog to watch this thing because the 49ers had no chance from that point on. So Josh Johnson comes in, and we've been told, we've heard this narrative pushed by some that anybody could quarterback this team full of weapons. Well, we immediately learned that that's not true because Josh Johnson looks overwhelmed. I mean, he just does not look ready for this moment. This is his 14th team, most in NFL history, and it's a rough go for Josh Johnson.
Ball is bobbled, and it's on the ground and loose. Who's going to get it?
He just dropped it. I mean, that was a good snap.
It Eagles
just...
have it.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a tough spot for him, too. He just joined the team after the Garoppolo injury or sometime maybe early December.
So was Garoppolo, is he healthy enough to play now?
Yes, but they rolled with Purdy and
why would they do that? Why wouldn't they make him the backup to Brock Purdy? I mean, I
don't
if that's
know.
The case, I cannot understand.
Maybe they didn't feel like
he
was 100%. Maybe he didn't feel he's 100%, and he's...
That has to be it, because they're paying him, and he's...
On the sideline.
Absolutely much more competent than anybody else would be. I mean, he is a very, very, very good backup. He might be the best backup in the entire NFL. I don't know why they would roll that way, but, you know, again, I mean, it's like the mindset of just going into this game. No one thought that Brock Purdy would get injured.
It never crossed my mind.
Never crossed anybody's mind. But right there, it can happen in just a routine play at any time.
Johnson leaves. It gets worse for the 49ers. Johnson, who did complete some passes amongst looking a little bit lost with a very limited playbook, but that was better than what was to follow. So they briefly considered, and who amongst us wasn't rooting for this? Christian McCaffrey, who they went and got him an extra helmet because the quarterback is going to need a helmet that they can hear the communication from, the radio signals. So they bring him that helmet, and you're thinking, oh, my God, this is the NFC Championship game, and Christian McCaffrey is going to play quarterback from the Wildcat formation. I can't wait to see what this looks like.
Yeah, you just wanted to see it because he's such a special athlete.
Jeez.
You get the idea. He can do just about anything.
Yeah.
The ball that I mean, I would think that he could probably throw the ball. He didn't play any quarterback even in high school. So, but he's such a natural athlete.
Oh yeah,
I think he's one of those guys that you can just kind of see picture in your mind doing better than anybody thinks.
Okay, play a little backyard football.
Yeah, and Hawkeye fans like AD are going like, oh, yeah, I've seen this guy do everything in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
this is a good
he
move.
Can win.
But,
he
I mean,
win
don't you, wouldn't you kind of think of him as being a Cooper DeGene
Absolutely.
Type of guy where,
for sure.
Put him in a quarterback, I could see it actually working out okay.
And I have seen him throw some, like, halfback option passes before, and not surprisingly, he can throw the ball down the field. But they decide not to go that direction. They go back to Brock Purdy, and Purdy goes in possibly with a torn ligament or something, at the very least, a really damaged elbow. He's losing the feeling in his fingertips, he would describe later. Can't really grip the ball well. He can't throw. So 49ers fans, I think at this point, are a little bit frustrated because they know Purdy ended up throwing four passes overall, two after the injury, 4 for 4 in the game. But the two passes he threw were like basically handoffs. They were 5 to 10 yards. And Purdy said that's as far as he could throw it. So I think 49ers fans felt like, try something, because we know this isn't going to work, because the Eagles are just pinning their ears back and teeing off. There's no chance if Purdy can't throw.
Try something and
try anything.
Like bring McCaffrey in.
Yeah,
I mean,
try anything.
Brock Purdy was not able to do anything. I mean, he would have been almost was wondering if he was, you know, slightly ambidextrous and you'd see him suddenly turn into a lefty. But that would, I'm sure, look even more ridiculous. But I mean, the Eagles' defense is great.
And they
were not going to lose this game. I don't think they were going to lose this game anyway. But
not to a gimmick. That's not giving the Eagles enough credit.
And then at that point, you're just like, okay, with a gimmick, are we really going to make up this ground? Because they were down significantly, after halftime. And
after that fumble, it goes from 14-7, where it's still somewhat manageable, to 21-7, and you know it's over.
So at that point, I mean, you do kind of have to think about, all right, do we want to risk somebody getting injured, playing way out of position in a game where we realistically don't have a chance to win?
Jalen Hurts puts the lopsided no contest game on ice.
Going to sneak it again. Hurts looking for a push from behind. He is waiting for a signal in. Touchdown, Eagles.
And it's too bad because it's, you know, the 49ers defense is getting really frustrated. It's getting really, really chippy. It's just clear that, you know, it's in Philadelphia, so the fans are just feasting on them. They're loving it. I don't think there was any tears shed for Brock Purdy or the rest of the 49ers or their chances in that stadium. So it was like a shark tank in there, and the 49ers defense just almost needed to be escorted off the field.
We've never seen anything like it, though. 53-man roster, and there's no one to pass the football.
Yeah, right.
No one to pass the football.
A team that has gone through that many quarterbacks.
Yeah, they're
would on, roll they're, into that game with one.
They're on quarterback number five, but there isn't a fifth quarterback. So,
well, I mean, yeah, Johnson got his head slammed down hard on the cold turf. So, I mean, he was hurt.
And the irony is that the 49ers started the season with three quarterbacks, which many teams only roll with two. But they Kyle Shanahan, mm-hmm. and he ended up being proven right on this, thought so highly of Brock Purdy, they didn't want to put him on the practice squad. They wanted him active.
It turns out three really good options at quarterback.
Yeah.
Maybe the worst was the starter.
Brock Purdy, after the game, felt terrible.
You know, my arm just felt like it stretched out. Just felt like really a lot of just shocks all over from my elbow down to my wrist, front and back. Just pain, really, all over. I couldn't throw anything probably over 10 yards, 5 yards. So that's why we just had some screens. That was really our only option when I went back in. I'm just so sad for the older guys, you know, Fred, Trent, George, Eric Armstead, everyone, all the guys that have been through this. You know, they've obviously been to the Super Bowl in 19 and then last year in the NFC Championship. And then for this to happen, it's in the first drive, really, of, man, like, this is the kind of game we have to play after the first drive. And I'm just frustrated. But it's more sad for those guys than anything because they deserve to go to win and to win the whole thing. And so when that happened, man, I'm just more frustrated with that and sad for them.
I think Purdy proved so much. He was really good. He was not just a system quarterback. He is a really good fit. He proved he can play at that level. I think the 49ers would go into next year with him as the quarterback, but that's now thrown into question marks waiting on this MRI. How bad is the elbow?
Yeah, right. I mean, everything that we were thinking, all the different options we've been debating the last 2 weeks, this was not one of them, right? Him getting hurt. We thought about him being ineffective in this game, maybe just not having a good game, and then what do you do next year? Nobody ever thought, well, what if he gets hurt? He just didn't seem like that was a possibility. But this is not just an injury. It's one that really could potentially take a really long time to heal.
Yeah, because most injuries, you're like, well, you know, he'll be back to start next season. Yeah. But they're talking Tommy John surgery. I mean, this could be up to a year.
Yeah, if it's that, and you can recover from that, and as you know from, you're both baseball fans, if it becomes that, your arm is often strengthened through the surgery, like more zip, more velocity, more distance. But
just will he get a chance in 2024?
Yeah, how long will that be? And depending on the severity of the injury, it could potentially cost him a lot of money, too, which is too bad.
It's going to be one of those seasons.
Such an easy guy to cheer.
I mean, there's so many things to look back on this season. I mean, the 49ers had such a good year once they figured it out. But before they figured it out, they lost to the Bears, the Broncos, and the Falcons.
Jeez. Yeah. Fred Warner, linebacker, reminded everyone that Purdy should not feel bad.
He ain't got nothing to be sad about. You know, he's the reason we even got to this game. When Jimmy went down against the Dolphins, like, we didn't know what our season was going to be, you know. He came in and did a heck of a job. He's the reason we're here right now.
Exactly right. Yeah, that's well put. Leave it to George Kittle, former Hawkeye, to perfectly summarize how 49er fans, players, and coaches feel.
How's that feel to lose in the NFC Championship game because I don't have a quarterback? Pretty shitty, to be honest. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I don't need much more than that.
Yeah, it's got to be a really unique feeling, though. There can't be many players that have ever been in a situation like this before. I mean, they just They have a great team.
And they can't throw and the forward
all
pass.
All of the quarterbacks are injured.
This would have been better in the 70s but or 80s, but in this era, if you can't throw a forward pass, well, you're either Iowa or you don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, there was no threat of the passing game, so the Eagles' defense could completely just close in on the line of scrimmage. There was not a dang thing that San Francisco could do about it.
Quickie poll from WCI Pools and Spas:
who really gets to brag up the that Jalen Hurts is in the Super Bowl? Is it Alabama or Oklahoma?
Yeah, who gets to really brag up? Like who? Because they're both putting out Jalen Hurts photos in their uniforms. Congratulations, Super Bowl quarterback out of Alabama, out of Oklahoma. Who gets those bragging rights? Who gets more of the bragging rights?
I think it's Oklahoma. I mean, he won a Heisman with them. They're the ones that had him last.
I don't think he won the Heisman. I think
Burrow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think he's in the running, had a great year.
He did. He did.
Played benched at Alabama. Yeah, benched in the national championship game.
Yeah.
And stayed there for another year.
And was a great leader. I mean, the way he responded
to
all
that. Tua ran him, pushed him out?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Tua came in at halftime and won the national championship.
They were down like 21-0 or something.
That's crazy.
I think it probably is Oklahoma. You think of this like, and Alabama's a different thing than like NC State, but you don't ever think of Russell Wilson as an NC State quarterback. He's a Wisconsin quarterback.
Couple of trivia questions for you guys. Can you name the last quarterback who played at Alabama to start a Super Bowl? Because Jalen Hurts is coming in 13 days. Prior to Hurts, the last quarterback who played at Alabama to start a Super Bowl.
I hope it's not going all the way back to Joe Namath.
Not all the way back to Namath.
I don't know.
Is it like Joe Capp or something?
No, Ken Stabler.
Wow. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
All the way back to Ken Stabler with all those teams, all those championships, all those great games. All right, here's another one. If the Eagles beat the Chiefs, Devontae Smith will become the fifth player to win a Heisman Trophy, a college football national championship, and the Super Bowl. Can you name any of the other four?
Heisman Trophy.
College national championship and the Super Bowl. You want to take the break to think about it?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do that. We'll come back.
26 through 2-8.
It's time for Throwdowns on the Murph and Andy Show.
All right, let's throw it down. Murph, the Cyclones missed Caleb Grill in Missouri on Saturday. More than just his 10 points a game. How much does Grill's status affect your opinion on tonight's game at Texas Tech?
Well, quite a bit. I don't see Caleb Grill as being the difference between a win and a loss at Missouri. Missouri came out. Not only was Missouri hitting shots, but it reminded me of the Iowa game where the team that usually looks like Iowa State with tenacity and aggression and belly button defense, that was the opponent. And Iowa State didn't match the intensity. Grill would have certainly helped, but I think there was more there. But he, because of his defense and his 3-point shooting, I would feel a lot better about Iowa State winning a road game, getting another quad one win if Grill can play.
Yeah, I think just having him out there, just the threat of him is probably more helpful to that team than we might realize. I think they ran into a team, though, that just flat out shot the lights out there. They were having their game in their building. Somehow they really got up for that game, and it was difficult in that Big 12 SEC challenge, I think, for a lot of those teams. But Missouri was ready for that game. They started out with a good shooting touch, and it really didn't go away at halftime. So they just kind of turned into a buzzsaw, and Iowa State ran into it.
Andy, 5 straight years the Chiefs have played in the AFC Championship, winning one Super Bowl, losing another. If they win this year, do you call them a dynasty?
I mean, dynasty.
Two titles, 5 years.
Yeah, it's a little far apart, but yeah, I mean, they've been going to the AFC Championship game. They've been right there. I think they're real, real close. I think that's kind of the beginnings of a dynasty. I don't know that you just declare it a dynasty at this point. Kansas City fans will. But this is a really great run. I mean, they have got a great quarterback, a great head coach, a great tight end, and they've lost a bunch of parts, but they've replaced them, and those three pillars are enough to just kind of keep on winning at this point. So they get a lot of credit for that. I don't know. They're right on the edge.
This is a difficult question. It's like asking when should a man stop wearing a football jersey in public. You have differing opinions on that, and you can't say for sure somebody's right and somebody's wrong. In my opinion, it's not. I think you have to win two straight titles in there somewhere to have it feel like a dynasty, like where everybody starts actively rooting for this team to lose because they're just so tired of the success. And that's such a difficult thing to do. Look at the Rams this year. I mean, they absolutely imploded. To win two titles in a row, to me, that puts you on the level of dynasty, along with the kind of success like five straight championship games.
Murph, the Drive had a conversation last week about college basketball arena music. If you could only have one, do you prefer the pep band or like hype music, pop music through the speakers?
It's a really good question. Because I would never, ever listen to a pep band in my house or my car, not under any circumstances or on a dare. But in the arena, I want to hear the pep band. It's part of what makes a college game different from an NBA game. It's part of why bowl games are such a terrible idea for the college football playoff. Put these games on college campuses, in college stadiums. Same here. Arena. Pep band, not pump up the jam.
Yeah, I don't know that I can add a whole lot to that. I mean, they create that, they help create that atmosphere as much as any other element in a college basketball game. It just sounds right. It's fun. They're way into it. The kids in the band work as hard as the players on the basketball team. So. It's a really fun thing. I mean, I do like the hype music, the audience dancing to all that, but the pep band is part of the energy in that crowd.
And you're right, they add more than just the music.
Some of the facial expressions are worth the price of admission. Trending Iowa and Andy's answer coming up next.